Amen. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church this morning. Glad you all could be here with us today. At this time, we'll go through our announcements. So if you don't have a bulletin, slip your hand up real high. One of our ushers will make sure that they can get one out there to you. If you open up to the first page, you'll see our service times listed there. As always, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening, again, 5 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 is our Bible study. We will be going through Jeremiah chapter 14 this week. Hope you can make it out to that midweek service. Sword drills, Bible memory, trivia for the kids is right here at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So hopefully you could make it out for that. Everyone has a really good time with that. There's prizes, and it's just overall a good time. Soul winning opportunities are listed there, as well as the salvations and the baptisms. September was a great month for just the results of salvations there. So praise the Lord for that. All the great work that's being done. Keep up all of those efforts. Let's count up if you have any salvations to report for the week. Just slip your hand up real quick. We'll get those counted. Yes, sir.
One on Friday.
Amen. Yes, sir.
One on Tuesday.
Okay. And 7 for the group yesterday. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Very good. I know there's a lot of people meeting up for that Saturday group, and I encourage you, if you're not, it's in Stone Mountain. You know, we have different people live in different parts of the state, and sometimes even in other states, but sounds like a really good soul-winning time. I've been meaning to get out there, and I will one of these days make it out to the Saturday time. I know a lot of you all already do that and seeing great results out there, so praise the Lord for that. Anyone else that I missed as far as salvations to report? Excellent. All right, continuing on, we've got the offering totals listed down there at the bottom of the page, received through the month of September. Prayer requests. So we do have an update on Mrs. Estrada. She did give birth last night. I put in her estimate due date is today because when I made the prayer requests, I didn't know that she had had the child yet. But let me see here. Ethan Jose was born last night at 11:10 p.m., weighing 8 pounds, 4.5 ounces, 20 inches long. Another redhead baby. Daddy delivered the baby. Midwife wasn't there in time. But everyone is doing well. They're very blessed and grateful for all of the support and the prayers. So as we always do, we are providing, or we like to have meal trains for the people, for the families that have babies, right? It's very helpful for them. The Stradas are another family that don't live super close to church, but some of you live closer. And if we can coordinate, maybe if you want to bring in a meal to be a blessing to the Estrada family here, oftentimes we have people who live a little bit closer able to help with the delivery of the food. If you could do it yourself, that's awesome. Another option that might also be helpful is we do Uber Eats usually with the church. We find that to be helpful, but also even just gift cards, grocery stores might go a little bit further than something like the Uber Eats, whatever. I mean, whatever you want to do to bless them, you know, they're going to be very thankful for. So, but happy to report that everything is going very well, and the baby was born safely last night. So praise God for that. All right, let's see, who else? Do we have any updates for the prayer list? Does anyone have anything else to update with? Yes.
Just a small thing. We supposed to have her MRI, but she had an anxiety attack when she went in there.
Oh, no.
So they rescheduled it for October 15th.
Okay. Yeah, that's where they put you in that small space, and you got to stay still, and it takes a while to do the imaging. So, okay, yeah, sorry to hear that that's going on, but we'll pray for her. So October 15th, she's rescheduled for another MRI that she'll be sedated for so that they'll be able to get a proper image for that. So continue to pray for Mrs. Martin. Anybody else have an update for the prayer list? All right. Well, how would the surgery go? Good. You're here. Glad to see you. Glad you're with us. So you got that sling. But was everything successful the way that they wanted the operation to go? Good. Good. So it's good to have Lily here with us. We're going to pray for her recovery, that everything will go really well. She heals up good, no infection, things like that. So appreciate all the prayers there. Continuing on the next page, month of October is a new challenge. So October started, obviously, this last week, and this challenge for this month is to add one extra hour to your normal routine for soul winning. So if you don't normally go soul winning regularly, just it's not a real regular basis, the goal is to go regularly for four out of the 5 weeks that we have here in October. To make sure you go soul winning for at least an hour. And then, again, obviously, from there, you determine, okay, if I normally go soul winning 3 hours, 4 hours, five, whatever your normal routine is that you would typically do, just try to add another hour on top of that, whether it be a same day, different day, however you decide to do that. spread out, doesn't matter. Try to get that extra hour in. That is the push. That is the goal for this month. Next men's preaching class is coming up this Saturday, October 12th at 10 a.m. You must be a soul winner if you want to preach. And as usual, prepare for a 5 to 15 minute sermon. Chili cook-off is October 31st, 6:30, right here. So you must be making the chili from scratch. Essentially, you know, no pre-bought chili, no restaurant chili, nothing that's just already made and just, you know, entering that and pawning that off as your own. Also, we are going to need judges. So if you want to be a judge, then, and someone in your household is preparing chili, we need impartial judges. So, you know, you're going to have to do your best to just stay away. Don't look at, you can't know what your, whoever is making chili, what it looks like, what it tastes like, you know, those types of things. So just try to make sure you could be as impartial of a judge as possible. If you want to be a judge, obviously, if you see it and whatever, and then just don't volunteer when it comes to that day to be a judge. We have prizes available for second and third place. It's always a lot of fun. We have a lot of great cooks in our church, people who really know how to make a good chili. So hopefully you can make it out for that. And if you are entering a chili, try to get here as close as possible to that start time of 6:30. We're going to be giving numbers out so we can do it, you know, blind and have the judges tally up based on their favorites and give out points and stuff like that. So I really want to get things rolling as much as possible because everyone always likes to see who wins before they get their own chili and eat so they can make sure they get the winner, the best chili that's on the table. So anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. October 31st, this is not a Halloween party. Don't come dressed up as some whatever witch or wizard or something like that. Like, we are having an alternative here to what's going on in the world. Bible memory passage. So we have only a few weeks left to memorize all of Hebrews 12, the rest of Hebrews 12, and you'll earn a prize for being able to do that. Birthdays and anniversaries are listed there, and that's it for the announcements other than probably the biggest announcement that I have right now, and it is not pleasant, and it's not fun, and it's not something I want to do, and to be honest with you, these past few weeks have been the hardest of my entire ministry as a pastor. So this has been the most difficult thing I've ever had to deal with being a pastor of a church. So I want to give a little bit of background. And as many of you know, I have been very careful regarding all of the events that have been going on and the accusations and the things with Pastor Anderson at Faith Forward Baptist Church. And I've been trying to conduct myself as biblical, as godly as possible. I've been trying to show a good example of how to deal with things like this. I have a lot of statements or a lot of things I just wrote down here. I want to make sure that my thoughts can be presented appropriately and, you know, you take it for what it is. I'm not attacking Pastor Anderson. I've always considered him to be a very, very good close friend. And those of you who know my history, I'm going to go over a little brief history here, but we are, as a church, we're separating from Pastor Stephen Anderson and Faith Forward Baptist Church. So Faith Forward Baptist Church started on Christmas Day 2005. I started attending in August of 2006. We met in Pastor Anderson's house. Much, much, much smaller church at the time. I loved the church. I loved Pastor Anderson. I grew tremendously in that church. I mean, leaps and bounds. It was awesome. Pastor Anderson baptized me in 2006. He led my wife to Christ in 2007. He got us married in 2008. Taught and trained me soul winning, preaching, sound biblical doctrine, okay, like, he's been my mentor, my spiritual leader, my friend since 2006. So that's 18 years. So understand that this is not easy for me, and I never thought this day would ever happen, okay? But I have to stay true to what I think is right and how I see what the Bible teaches. So at the end of the day, my ultimate loyalty lies to Christ. Pastor X was always very generous with his time and his possessions. He's always extremely generous, you know. So I'm saying all this just so you understand. I am not trying to slam his character. And what you have to understand, too, as ugly as all the accusations have been, that does not just embody who Pastor Anderson is just completely. Like, it's easy to get wrapped up in accusations and only see one thing, okay? That's, I just want to be fair in discussing all of this stuff, okay? Because I owe everything where I'm at right now to, one, the work of Pastor Anderson, but more importantly, Jesus Christ, okay? God. So God uses men, and he used that man greatly in my life as well as in the lives of many others, as probably as well as the lives of just about everybody sitting in this church right now. Okay? I was ordained in 2013 to pastor Word of Truth Baptist Church, and again, Pastor Anderson would do anything he could to help this ministry, that ministry succeed. Always there, always helpful, always, you know, trying to make that work. Okay? After knocking all the doors in the town and still having problems getting the church really going and established and running, Pastor Anderson agreed to take the church over so that I can be sent to more fertile ground to try to start another church in another area, another place, because it just didn't seem very receptive there. Again, very thankful for that opportunity. I'm glad that he was offered the counsel and advice and everything else to get there. 2018 is when this church was founded and was comprised of people who had all been influenced by and were followers of Pastor Anderson Faith Forward Baptist Church's ministry. Again, absolutely, amen. Tremendous amount of work, tremendous amount of influence, tremendous amount of effort gone in, and a lot of love there as well. My friendship continued, and his support of our work never ceased. Even with the church plant in Greenville this year. Pastor Anderson was excited. He had family that lived there, and he offered to preach whenever he was in town to be an extra boost and a benefit to help the church to get attention, to get notice, to bring people into church. Amen. Okay? All of this. So I have no personal benefit in saying anything that would be contradictory or against Pastor Anderson for all the good that he's done to me. I have no motive to do this. I have no hatred. I have no envy. I have no reason other than to speak what I think is true and appropriate. Because there's plenty of things that you might disagree with or you might think are true, but it's not necessarily always appropriate to talk about those things or to bring those up. But this is serious enough that I think it has to be brought up. The impact the Anderson family has had on my life has been tremendous, and I will forever be grateful for all they have done for me and my family and my ministry, everything. I've also been a faithful supporter of Pastor Anderson Faithful Word Baptist Church over all of these years through the protests, the death threats, all of the ups and downs. I think it's evidence. We left these pictures up. You've seen when you all threw a little celebration of my pastorate and we're honoring the work that I've done. You can see all the photos up there and my own personal involvement with that church. Okay, I've been loyal and a friend, and I don't think anybody can say otherwise. I'd like to see him try. Through all the various battles and drama, I've always supported my friend, Pastor Anderson, and all of my friends at Faith Forward Baptist Church. Always. However, over the course of the past several weeks, things have changed. As the situation started to unfold, I was loyal to Pastor Anderson and believed that everything he said was the truth in all of these matters, because I had no reason not to believe him, because he has established himself in my life, in my observation, as someone who had integrity and someone who's honest and someone that would not be deceitful for, as far as I was concerned, for any reason. Okay? I had no reason to not just accept what he said as being the truth. Zero. Okay? Again, making all of this extremely difficult. But that being said, there have been occurrences or things said or little bits here and there that started to bother me and was troubling and I couldn't quite make sense of and was pointing me in a direction that I didn't really like and I didn't think, you know, I fought against everything that I was seeing and literally suffered from in the past couple of weeks what's known as cognitive dissonance. Okay, and if you're not familiar with that, it's basically, you know, I literally have been having physical effects, ill feeling, just really extreme. Because on the one hand, my mind is starting to see all of these things and connect dots and put things together and say, wait, this is all adding up. But everything else is saying, no, that can't be true because it just can't be true. And there's that strongly held belief, loyalty, faithfulness is now being challenged by facts that I was starting to process and put together. And it's not easy to deal with. And I'm going to just add this. I'm trying to stay because I'm trying to do everything very logical and very appropriate for this. But these allegations aren't just a little deal. And when I started seeing the gaslighting and just trying to call people retarded and stupid and just berating people for even considering that accusations might be true, when it's not that simple, it's not that just close cut, just cut and dry, there's nothing to it, nothing to see here. It's not some random person who's just always been a hater, you know, now all of a sudden just coming up with some crazy accusations. Yeah, that how you just dismiss that stuff out of hand, right? But when it's your own children and when it's multiple of them and, you know, they've been in your house, what, you know, it starts to get a little bit harder. I'm not saying it can't happen that there's some coordinated attack and that Satan's not attacking, but at the same time, you have to at least be able to consider, wait a minute, like, maybe I should at least think about this for a second. But I digress. Let me continue with my statement that I wanted to explain my own process in coming to these conclusions, which is also, by the way, why I've been preaching the way I have and trying to relate the importance of being very careful with your judgments, right? And hearing out the side, you know, kind of gathering as much information as you can. Because look, we all have to make judgments. You hear stuff, everyone makes their own judgment in your own mind. You have to do that for yourself anyways, no matter what. You know, it was said to me, like, I don't care about your church. They can't judge me. Well, everyone judges. So I didn't want people to start only hearing one side of a story and then prematurely judge, because that's not right. You need to gather everything together. And that's what I was trying to do, is gather all the information. So when I first started to notice a few things that seemed off to me, I just came up with some kind of excuse as to why I shouldn't let those observations bother me, because it just went against what I held for so long. However, they started to accumulate until they could not be ignored or brushed aside. And I already mentioned this. It got so bad, I started to experience cognitive dissonance. I've been literally feeling ill for a couple weeks because of all the information I was putting together that was in contradiction to what I wholeheartedly believe to be true. I understand completely now why there are so many people that simply cannot or will not accept that Pastor Anderson could have done any of the things he's accused of. I get it. And I'm not going to be belittling people for that either, especially if you've had a long history. So a few specifics. Which, by the way, I'm not getting very specific with some of the with all the evidence or things that I've seen, and I'm going to present on purpose because I don't think it's appropriate, but we'll leave it at that. So a progression of events that I'm recalling in my mind: Isaac's first video was months and months ago, and my thought was, why is he even talking to a trainee? Like, why is he even having this interview? Like, what's the matter with that? And shouldn't be airing dirty laundry, but overall didn't think anything was that big of a deal in the big picture and saying, okay, whatever. It was easy to dismiss. There wasn't a lot said there either, and I just kind of was thinking like, well, hey, he's not the best, there's a lot of things that I could think of that would make it where I'm not just super, grabbing on to what he's saying as being that big of a deal. John released a video, again, talking to that same person, which is wrong. I mean, it's just, you shouldn't be talking to God haters. Like, that is wrong. This is part of the reason made it all complicated, right? It is complicated. It's not an easy situation. And by all outward appearance, he seemed to be rebellious, brought up a lot of silly things that didn't even really make sense. He came across as someone who might be possibly exaggerating, and that was my initial response to hearing his testimony too. Okay? But he also still came across as being truthful, at least from his own perspective. I didn't think that he was lying per se, just he's giving his own account of what happened, but there still seemed to be a lot of room for rationalization. Now, I found out about his daughter's situation directly from Pastor Anderson when those events were happening. So the events, if you listen to it all, of the police and the going to her work and all that stuff, I heard firsthand right after it happened, because that's also when he was here and preached at the church plant. So I heard the entire story, and again, I was totally on Pastor Anderson's side, if you want to call it that, and believe what he was telling me, and just thought, man, this is crazy, and just tried to be as supportive as possible. Yet there were still a couple of things that troubled me even in those conversations. All of these problems with his children, but he said that there's nothing that he would change and that he did nothing wrong to cause any of this. That bothered me a little bit. When you start having multiple problems with all of your oldest children as soon as they're leaving the house, essentially, it started to not seem right. However, the other option is, well, hey, Satan could be attacking. And that is a totally viable and would make a lot of sense for someone who's done as much work as Pastor Anderson and Faith Forward Baptist Church. It makes perfect sense, right? But in order for that to be true, that means, maybe there's how coordinated is it? What's going on here, right? So, again, given the benefit of the doubt, another troubling statement in that conversation was his attitude towards his daughter then was that as long as she didn't go back to Clint, he didn't really care kind of where she went or what happened to her. And made a comment about having other kids at home that loved him. And again, at the time, it struck me as really odd, but thought maybe this is someone who's hurting and is just saying something they don't mean, because we've all done that before, right? But it's still difficult as a father to just be willing to kind of drop your family, drop your child, as if it doesn't really matter what happens. So that was concerning. And then I heard Miriam's video, and her account of all of the events that happened actually lined up perfectly with Pastor Anderson's account to me. There was nothing that was contradictory, which shows me that they're both telling the truth. All of the events, the facts of the events, lined up. Now, there's obviously a few details that I think might have been assumed from one party or the other, but it was all spot on. The reaction of doxing Clint was, I don't understand how you could do that. I think it's just totally inappropriate and is clearly retaliatory and was just meant to harm and had nothing to do with the safety of his daughter, especially given the fact that these have been weeks have passed and nothing has been done, even after we personally offered to go and do what he was then asking all the internet people to do for him. We offered to see, hey, we'll look around, we could see, do you want us to do this? We'll help you. That was declined. So motives matter. I talked to Isaac and Solomon personally to ask specific questions that I felt weren't answered in their interviews. I wanted real specifics. I wanted details on just certain things that were maybe just broad brushed and see, well, hey, a lot of things matter. Were things happening a long time ago and then they stopped? Was there, you know, is this all just old stories? Is there, you know, how often all these things happen and whatever? Try to get some more, just answer some doubts and things that were there. And then I still reserved judgment until I could confront Pastor Anderson himself and ask him about some specific events and specific details, because I'm not going to make a final, or I didn't want to make a final judgment until I can have just hear it from everybody. And I don't necessarily think that everybody in the world is entitled to all of the level of scrutiny and detail and everything that I was pursuing. But I've been a friend for a long time. I kind of felt like it was appropriate to do so, especially for me. I wanted to know. This is a big deal. Before I got a chance to talk to him, I actually intended on doing it Saturday before I preached the sermons I preached last week. And I preached regarding a lot of my observations I didn't like. I didn't like the biting and devouring across people who are brothers, and you know, the attacking, nonsensical judgments, people being real quick and just railing and all kind of trashing good people and just overall inappropriate behavior. I didn't appreciate that, I didn't like that, and that's what I was speaking to a lot of when I preached my sermon last week. And of course, my evening sermon about the wife spanking, the spousal abuse, I almost didn't even preach that, but because it came up just in general as an accusation, it was thrown out there, is why I wanted to deal with it. I'm like, no one preaches on this subject. And I thought it was a no-brainer. You heard the sermon if you were here on Sunday night. And to me, that is... it's something that, it's one of those things I just assumed that no one could disagree with. But apparently I'm way wrong on that assumption. And let me just say this right here. That is a big deal. That is not some small issue for me. And when I started to see statements come out after that sermon, like, I can't support or condemn these actions, basically. that someone might take, and, you know, like, that's no. I mean, you want to talk about opening up the door for a lot of abuse to go on? Make the statements that were made online publicly. I mean, it was insane. I you know, if I would have known it was that bad, I would have, you know, been ripping on this. I would rip on this every week because there's so much more scripture than I even used on Sunday night. I just didn't think it was necessary. There's so much. There's an abundance of scripture. Okay, to say that you're twisting scripture, if you're saying that, if you can try to condemn that behavior. Look, saying the Bible silent about how you treat your wife is like saying the Bible silent about smoking pot. Well, it doesn't specifically say thou shalt not smoke pot, so I guess we don't smoke pot. Or I guess we can't say anything about it. I guess you could just do whatever. Yeah, it's called reasoning and principles and a lot of clear. It's like, well, the Bible doesn't specifically say that a man can't lie with a child, so I guess, you know, it's just kind of silent about that, and we'll just have to leave that with, like, no, of course not. That's ridiculous. That's insane. And this is another one of those issues. This is insane to think that somehow it's okay to do that. And I'm not going to continue just down that path. It just, you know, kind of fires me up. But then seeing the reactions was a little telling in itself. All of these things are going on. And then the phone call, which I would say, and let me just add this too, that over the past few weeks, I would say, like, Pastor Anderson seems to be just a totally different person than I've ever known him to be over the past 16 years. The behavior I've been seeing, the just everything that's been happening, it's like a totally different person. That's the best way I can put it. Okay, because this is so, and this is what's been so weird for me and so bizarre, that this is not the person I knew. If I knew these things were going on in the home that's being alleged, I would not have continued going to that church. Just wouldn't have been. It's too much. That's too much to handle. I don't care how good of a teacher you are. I would not have been going knowing that those things were occurring. Okay, I had a phone call then, finally, and I received a verbal lashing immediately. He didn't want to talk to me. Used language that I've never personally heard out of his mouth. But I tried to continue to be a friend. The whole point was to show places where I thought there was error and problem, and was literally trying to offer to help. Because if I see a problem with a friend, I'm going to try to help. And this is full well knowing. I've seen how he's responded to other people. I saw how he responded to Pastor Robinson, which, by the way, Pastor Robinson didn't just come all out against Pastor Anderson or something. You know, I asked him about his phone call with him, and it was a little shocking just how quick you could just be dropped. Okay? And I was accused of being a fake friend. I was accused of being a liar. You know, there's a few points. There's one point in particular, which, again, I'm not going to get into details, that I can corroborate with the stories of the kids as being there. There were two specific instances that they told stories that I can firsthand or secondhand, firsthand being me or my wife, say, oh, I remember that, or I remember this part of that, or some a portion of the story that would definitely corroborate their memory and tying it to a very specific time, a very specific occurrence, a very specific day. That gives a lot of credibility to the accusations, and I wanted to be able to ask about those. I had a list of things I wanted to talk to and ask about, and I got a chance to only talk about one before I was called a liar and before Leslie was called a liar. And at that point, you know, if you're going to tell me or my wife were lying about things that we know to be true, that was kind of all I needed to hear at that point. Because now I know for sure, if you're going to sit there and accuse me of being a liar and accuse my wife of being a liar and say that's absurd, that never happened, well, why would I believe you when you're saying your children are lying about this stuff? And, you know, you figure it out for yourself. Are the kids and the friend of how long, 18 years, all liars? What's the motive? What's the motive? I have no reason to lie. And when asked, why didn't you ask about, bring this up a long time ago? Because one of the things we witnessed, I thought it was fixed. I thought it was a bad day. We thought there was one thing that had happened. And look, but apparently it wasn't. And I never saw anything after that either, just for the record. So, okay. Move on. And that's why I also wanted to talk to the kids, because, hey, was this all just stuff that had happened over, and look, not to say it was right, but it's just, was this all these things happened just a long time ago, but now it's just everything's fine? No. Well, then it's still an issue. So I expect fully to be maligned, to be targeted, to be attacked, to be tarnished. I don't know what people might try to say about me. I'm a fake friend, right? No, you know what? I'm a real friend. I'm a real friend. And my entire treatment of this process is what I would hope and expect that a real friend would do the same for me. If I'm accused of something, right or wrong, I would hope that people would be able to analyze the whole situation, not jump to conclusions, not rush to any judgment, to initially have my back, to just, hey, you're my friend, yeah, of course, but still be willing to the alternative. You have to still be able to consider that, because here's why. Because if I am in sin and I'm wrong about something, I need to be confronted and I need to be rebuked and I need correction, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to want that correction, because if it doesn't come, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Okay? And I think things have gotten bad, and you say, well, how is it possible that someone who's, if these things are all true, how is it possible to be so blessed and have such great fruit and such great results and such great work being done? How is that even possible? Look, I struggled with that myself for a little while, because it just seems a little off. It's just kind of like, wow, how could it happen? But I'll tell you what, don't ever fall into the fallacy of going, hey, things are going good in my life, so everything I do must be right. Never get that philosophy of, oh, hey, I'm blessed, so I must not be in that big of a sin, or I must not have that many big problems going on. Because you know what? You know what the Bible says about God? He's long-suffering and merciful. And God gives space to repent. And when you have someone who has yielded their life to do great works and has been doing so much, I think God's going to show a lot of mercy and extend a lot of grace and give opportunity for a long time. But when problems just fester and they don't get fixed and they don't get corrected, there's going to come a time where God is going to say, look, I've given you the space. You've got to get this right now. And as a loving father wants their child corrected, if it has to come out, then this is the way, and this is the way it has to be, then this is the way it has to be. And yeah, you know what? Sin is always shameful. Always. And no one wants their sin just publicly exposed and things like that. But if you're not taking the correction, if you're not taking the hint earlier on, sometimes that's just what needs to happen, okay? And the fact that, these kids, that this information was presented by a God-hater does not mean that their testimony is false, it is not a sign from God to show who's right and wrong. It's God using a really wicked person to bring judgment on someone, just like he has in the past with so many other instances in the Bible. The children of Israel thought they were good and right and God was on their side and everything else, and then a really wicked nation came and destroyed them. That's actually biblical examples. Now, unfortunately, what I am seeing, what I'm witnessing is it appears to me as a blinding pride. And when I heard the statement that what's happening to him could be worse than anything that people have experienced in the Bible, you've got a really high view of yourself. Four kids coming against you and being rebellious if you're in your own mind, in your own terms, versus Job, who lost 10 kids, dead, lost everything he had, and was covered from head to foot in boils. Job is in the Bible for a reason. And to think that, it's kind of like, who do you think you are? And starting slamming churches for the sizes of their church. I'd never have heard him say anything like that before in the past, ever. Never. It was never, let's disparage this church because they're small. Although when I was there, the church was small. So maybe that's why I never heard that. I don't know. But when you've got people that you recognize as being men of God, people of God, doing good work, they've got the right gospel, they got the right, why in the world are you now trying to lash out and attack the size of their church? It's tearing other people down to try to make yourself look good. Don't listen to them, listen to me. And through all of this, and look, this is not to undo any of the tremendous good work that was put forth by Pastor Anderson, but also remember this, Faithful Word Baptist Church is not Pastor Anderson. He holds an office in that church. He's done a lot of work and was very instrumental and influential there, but you know what? There's an entire church that's going out every day and doing the work and supporting and doing ministry work and everything else. As much as you know that Stronghold Baptist Church is not Pastor Berzin's. A good leader, a strong leader is great. Be out there, get a lot of things done, manage things, organize things. But you know, at the end of the day, first of all, God builds churches. God brings people together. God uses men. God uses sinful men. Because I'm not perfect. Nobody is. God uses sinful men to do great things for his glory. The glory of all the work being done is not for Pastor Anderson's glory, it's for Jesus Christ's glory. And when you lose sight of that, that's not pleasing to God. My hope, my prayer is, I hope Pastor Anderson could see the error and the problems and be able to confront it head on, okay? I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that all of his actions make him unfit to hold the position of a pastor. But you know what? That's my opinion. I have no sway or pull over Faithful Word Baptist Church. That's their church. They can keep moving forward, do whatever they're going to do, make their decisions. That's on them. But as a church here, I can't support that. And I understand if you're upset over this. I'm upset over all of this too. Like I said, not an easy statement to make, but I can't come to any other conclusion based on my understanding of the Bible and what's right and what's wrong. And I feel like I've done as much as I possibly could. I'm going to pray that things can get better there. I mean, the church doesn't have to fold or collapse or anything like that based on this. It can continue to thrive. There's a lot of good people there. So, if you have some questions, I'm okay to answer them. I'm not interested in making attack videos. I'm not interested in doing anything like that. I'm addressing you here and allowing the live stream for the people at the church plant to also be able to hear the full account and story of what's going on here. So I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to get into details. At this point, it doesn't matter. In my opinion, I don't think everybody needs to know all of the sort of details or whatever. And I would encourage you not to get involved in fights online. I don't see a benefit to that. Keep the mission of our church, of the work, in your mind, okay? And if other people revile and attack, then let them. Just let them. It really only makes them look bad. And when you retaliate and go and you want to get fighting, hey, look, our fight isn't with other believers. It's not. And I'm not fighting and I'm not attacking. I'm trying to be the best friend that I can be. And just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's church discipline for a reason. Right? We call that tough love. That we try to hold to standards. And if you're a friend, and if we're a good church, we're going to let people know, hey, you're going too far. Now I'm breaking fellowship. You've gone too far. And the whole point is to maybe get through how bad of a situation it is to that person. Right? And you say, okay, well, this is where I'm at. But it's not because we hate you. So if someone's guilty of drunkenness or some other sin you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and we kick them out, we don't hate those people. I'm not going to hate them, right? But they have to understand, look, what you're doing is bad and you may not see it for yourself, which is why we're going to say, okay, I'm breaking fellowship with you. So you can really get it through, you know, how bad this is, that it's not some small thing. It's why we do it. Okay, and it's actually the most loving thing to do. Because if you just keep on going through as if nothing's wrong, it doesn't help anything. Now, he may choose to just, like he's already made the stand, I've done nothing wrong, don't see anything problem, there's no problem with it. Well, if that's the way it continues, so be it. But this is where I stand, and I think it's the right choice. And you know, if you believe differently, I'm not mad at you. I'm saying anyone has to agree with everything that I, you know, the decisions I make, but this is a decision that has to come down from the pastor of the church as far as who we associate with and who we don't, and this is my judgment here. So you believe differently, that's fine, but that's the stance our church is taking. All right, so we're going to continue with our service. And I'm going to ask Brother Peter to lead us in another song. And I will be available for questions that aren't gossipy and too prying after service. Brother Peter.
1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of these things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither, if we eat, are we the better. Neither, if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Dear God, thank you for letting us be here today. Please fill Pastor Burns with the Spirit. Let's all be edified by the preaching. Let's all apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm going to draw your attention there to the very first verse where the Bible says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And the name of my sermon is Charity Edifieth. Charity, what does it mean to edify? It means to build up, right? Charity is what we need, is to build up others. When you think about the Christian life, and actually turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because 1 Corinthians 13 is the charity passage. It's all about charity. And you can get a lot of knowledge, but knowledge alone is going to puff you up. And this is why when you talk to a lot of academics, oftentimes will be very proud people, right? They get lifted up in pride. Why? Because the more you start to know, right, and especially as you excel in what you consider just like common knowledge, or what the common person knows, and you start knowing more and more and more, it's similar to having wealth, right? You know, everyone's kind of maybe on a similar field in general, like most of the public or whatever is kind of in a certain condition, but then the more wealth a person gets, they start seeing themselves as exalted above everyone else and then start to think really highly of themselves. So you think of it, it's kind of for the same reason that someone with a lot of wealth, oh, I can look down on all these other people because I have all of this, but no one else really does, so I'm really special, right? And with knowledge, the same thing can happen. Oh, I'm learning and learning all this, and these people are all just really stupid, and I just know so much. So you can end up becoming very proud. Now, that happens when you are not balancing that with charity. And that's the key balance, is having charity, because if you're only gaining knowledge all the time, it's going to puff you up. But charity is when you, and we're going to read, through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but you actually care about other people, and you start putting other people in front of you, and you have a very humble mindset. If you're able to do things and act with charity in your heart and humility, then you can continue to increase your knowledge and then use that knowledge for the benefit of others, right? Instead of belittling people with your knowledge, you use your knowledge to help raise other people up. There's a big difference there in how you use that knowledge and being puffed up or not. And here's just kind of the irony of being puffed up with knowledge. If you're puffed up, pride blinds you. Like, people who are real proud are just kind of blinded to a lot of things. So you would think, like, with knowledge, you're understanding and knowing a lot more. But if you know a lot, but then you're just full of pride, you're ultimately still blinded in the things that really matter. So it's kind of self-defeating. Just, you know, the Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, right? Like none of that stuff really matters. It's just kind of foolish. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible says this: though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. So speaking with tongues, what's it talking about? Speaking languages. He said, though I speak with the languages of men and of angels, right? I mean, imagine just being able to communicate. You know, speaking with languages, you get to communicate to a whole bunch of different people. You learn languages, you learn foreign languages, you can learn a whole bunch of them. And he's saying, hey, maybe you're gifted in being able to learn languages, too. Maybe you have that ability. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? You could maybe, and you put in the effort, you put in the time, and you could speak all these different tongues, speak these different languages. And you even know how to communicate with angels, right? Let's just say you can. Saying if you have not charity, though, you can possess all those skills, but you're just become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's just a noise. All of those great words or languages you can speak just become noise. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Two things are brought up here. One is the understanding of mysteries, prophecy, knowledge. Man, I'm really good at looking at the Bible, and I'm really good at being able to uncover all these great truths and know, hey, this is how things are going to be, and this is what the Bible said, and have all of this knowledge. But then you don't have the charity to back that up. You're nothing. Nothing. You could be the best preacher, the best, have the most understanding of anyone in all the world. And if you don't have charity, you're nothing. And if you have all faith so that you could remove mountains, like, man, I'm just trusting in God, and I have so much faith that God could do all these things in my life and remove mountains, but you don't have the charity, you're nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, all of these things mentioned are really good things. If you could speak languages, you could have this gift of understanding and knowledge and have all this faith, and you could have, you know, be real generous and give of yourself. You could have all of these things, but if you don't have charity, and where's that charity? In your heart. You say, like, well, wait, how can I give my goods to feed the poor and not have charity? Because that's not the definition of charity. Just giving goods isn't always charitable. It's not, at least not the biblical definition of the word. It's not what the Bible's trying to show us here. Because there's all different motivations to do things. But let's read a little bit about charity. So what is it then that we need to have? Well, here are the attributes of charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Long suffering. So when people are sinning, when people are doing things you don't like, when there's all this, you know what? You've got a long fuse, right? You're not quick to anger, not a quick temper. I'm going to suffer long. That's when you have charity, you're able to do that. You're able to suffer long and is kind. Able to speak, you know, be kind to people, have kind words. Charity envieth not, so not caring and looking at what other people have and wishing that you had those things, right? There's no envy there. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So if someone's full of pride and lifted up, you could say, where is the charity? Because that's not an attribute of charity. Doth not behave itself unseemly. And look, this is kind of a generic, you know, unseemly, just inappropriate. This doesn't behave itself in an unseemly manner, in a way that's not right. It's a way that you just shouldn't be behaving. Right? Just generally. seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. All of these things. So the not easily provoked goes right hand in hand with the long suffering. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity helps you to through all of the hard times. And look, there's no rejoicing in iniquity. There's no, it's kind of hard to even imagine people who rejoice in iniquity, but it's out there. Actually, it's not that hard because there's a lot of people who are rejoicing over the current situation that's been going on and rejoicing in iniquity, and I think that's just totally wrong and disgusting. Yeah. And just, one last point on that since this is coming up. This is, everything that's happening is grievous. It's not, there is no good outcome. There's no winners. It's all bad. Okay, and it's a time to sorrow. It's a time to grieve, and it's time to, not get down and out, but keep fighting. But still, hey, look, there is nothing good about the situation at all. Nobody wins. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So it's also, the Bible's teaching here that, all these other great things, the knowledge, the tongues, like all these great gifts, all these great abilities, all this great stuff that you could have. It's like, ultimately, though, that could all just vanish away. But you know what never goes away is charity. Like charity will do, you could always have charity no matter what. Even in times, you could learn things, you could forget things, you could have all this stuff, but charity never fails. It never ceases. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And that last verse, there now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. So you think of faith, all the great faith, and it mentioned faith earlier, so I could remove mountains. Man, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And if you have enough faith, if you have the faith in God to do it, like those things can be done. Like the impossible can be done with the faith. Hope, right? Knowing the expectation, this could go hand in hand also with the prophecies and the knowledge, Faith, hope, and charity, great things to have, all of them. But the Bible says that the greatest of these is charity. Now turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. While you're turning there, it's just one more verse. I wasn't sure if I'd have time for everything. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. That's why. All right, you're in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, but now ye also put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Which, by the way, I've always taught this. I'm going to continue to teach this. That, yes, the Bible does, words do matter, the words that you use. And you shouldn't be speaking like a sailor. Because it's not godly, it's not Christian-like at all. And I understand, hey, words are just kind of words or whatever. And but here's the thing. Yes, the Bible teaches against cursing, which is different than just using what we would call filthy language. But the Bible says right here that put off all of these, and one of them being filthy communication out of your mouth. You shouldn't be speaking filthy, dirty, using words and language that is just commonly known and held as being dirty. Why do you have to use that language anyways? What's the point? It's filthy. And, you know, we ought to be good examples as Christians, not someone who sounds like they're the star of an R-rated movie or worse. Everything, the way that you handle yourself, the way that you present yourself, the way that you speak ought to be as an ambassador for Christ at all times. Not just when you're knocking doors, by the way, at all times. And look, we all fall short and come, you know, we all sin. We all come short of the glory of God, certainly. I've had my moments. I'm sure you've had yours. I've said things I regret. I say things. I've used language that I shouldn't use. But you know what? I'm never going to teach that it's just, oh, yeah, just go ahead and just say whatever you want because it doesn't really matter. It's ridiculous. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deed. And look, you say, well, I thought you'd teach on charity. I am. And it's not very charitable for people. It's not very edifying to be using filthy language, is it? And telling someone to go filthy comment to themselves, how much more filthy can you get? I don't even like saying it in a way that I'm not actually saying it. It's so inappropriate and wrong. I thought as Christians we're supposed to have standards and kind of, you know, hold the line in our whole communication and everything that we do and all of our activity and in the way that we present ourselves out in the world and in our own houses ought to be God-honoring and God-fearing and exalting the word of God. And if it says to put off all of these, because also it's just making reference to the things of the world. Hey, these things you used to do. This is how you used to be like. Yeah, you know what? Before I got right with God, I spoke like a sailor too. I drop all kinds of filthy language. But you know what? Now, no, I'm not going to be like that. Because that's how the world is. I'm going to be different from that. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. And notice too, because if people can try to twist these things to make it seem to mean something else, oh, well, that's just talking about the bedroom or something. You know what? Why would that just be talking about the bedroom if in the context it lists anger, wrath, malice, and blasphemy? It doesn't say anything about the... Now, look, would I say it is filthy to talk about the bedroom stuff? Yeah, of course it is. But these are things that people say in anger and wrath and malice and in blasphemy. It's all tied together. It just makes sense. It fits the sentence. I mean, talk about context. It's literally the same sentence. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You're looking for a character trait. You're looking for a characteristic of what it means to be godly and what does God view as being really important. I kind of think charity is really high up there in that list. And your character, who you are, ought to be defined as someone who has charity. The Bible says in verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And as I mentioned just a little bit earlier in the announcements, all that we do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. He is the head of the church. He is the one that should be ruling and monitoring and making sure things are going as they ought to be. And the work that we do, no matter how much God uses us to do great things, or even just uses you individually to do great things, don't ever forget to always be giving God the glory. God gets the credit. God gets the glory. If you're going to boast of anything, boast of Christ. And in our ministry and what we're doing here, let's not let that get out of line. And for our own lives and our own Christian walk, hey, study these things out. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Memorize. I've had that verse, that passage, that chapter memorized for years and years and years and years and years. It's a great chapter to have in your heart and to just keep fresh in your mind. Because it's so easy in a wicked world to get distracted and get off into other directions. And now, look, obviously there's righteous anger and indignation and things. You know, it's a full balance, but at the same time, look, this is what it's all about. This is what was Christ's life all about? Serving. What was our life supposed to be all about? Serving. Lifting others up. Edification. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Now, I think the Bible teaches that we need to have a lot. Look, and you know, I've taught this. Knowledge, wisdom. Hey, it's really important, right? Get the knowledge. Get the wisdom. But if I could only, and this is a false dichotomy, you can't just have one or the other, but if I could only choose just to have a lot of knowledge or a lot of charity, I'm going on the charity side. I'm going to make sure I'm strong on the charity side, stronger even than on the knowledge side. Look, they're both important. You need to have both. But I'm just saying, as 1 Corinthians teaches, you could have all the knowledge in the world, but it's nothing if you don't have charity. Bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would please help us to navigate through the trying times, Lord, and I pray that you would please, that your will would be done, and God, we're here to serve you. I pray that you'd help us make good choices, help us to do only those things that are pleasing to you, dear Lord, and God, we love you. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, dear Lord, and I pray that you would please just help things to get on track, that there can be good fellowship with like-minded believers, and that at the end of the day, that the cause of Christ isn't going to suffer for man's sin and foolishness, dear Lord. I pray that you would please help us to live and have good examples, dear God, and Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song, and then we'll be dismissed. Brother Peter, can you please lead us?
much for coming, you guys.